never know if I'm properly hooked up with these things or not. Wires going everywhere. But anyway, good evening. Appreciate everybody being here tonight. And I don't know if you came to hear me or just to see the guinea pig, because I'm the first one having to do this. So, and if this sounds rambling in any way, it's only because it is. But it's my story. I was told I could tell it how I wanted to. So, and just as a kind of a prelude to this, I believe what we're all about is loving God, loving His Word, loving His church, and looking forward to seeing Jesus. Kind of a synopsis of what we're all about and how we get there together is in the details, I guess. And hopefully you'll see some of that come out in the talks that are given by each of us each month. Okay. I was born in Plainview, which is north of Lubbock. My mother's family had been members of Churches of Christ for several generations. And my father's family were primarily Methodist. We moved to Austin when I was just a few months old, and my father was attending UT on the GI Bill after World War II. And for the several years there, we didn't go to church, have any affiliation or anything. Until I was about five, okay? And some of the men my father worked with invited us to attend the First Baptist Church downtown Austin. It was right across from the Capitol building. I remember attending a Bible class on one of the upper floors of the education wing. I didn't like it. This was new to me, you know. I hadn't been in Bible class. Here I was stuck way upstairs with a bunch of kids I didn't know. So it wasn't a good experience. And my mother, I remember telling me later, didn't like the services for whatever reason. But my mother did start attending the University Avenue congregation here in Austin shortly after that. And she told me later that her first impression of the building, which had just been built, 49, I think, her first impression of it was, this is too much. It's a big building. It was just more than she had ever been used to in small country churches. But a wonderful couple there took my mother under their wing. And she was restored to faithful service because of them. And I remember after that attending Bible classes in the basement education area. And that was more of an enjoyable experience. My father was baptized into Christ in about 1951. And we moved shortly thereafter to Los Angeles, California, and lived there for about 4 years and attended a congregation in Compton, California. And these years kind of started giving me, having a good impression on me in terms of learning Scripture. Because in Bible classes there, you were expected to memorize. And it made an impression on me. My father didn't attend very often, but my mother made sure that we were always there. We moved back to Austin. And started attending the Brentwood congregation. And again, my father didn't attend very often. I was baptized into Christ when I was about, when I was 12 years old. And that's when I received the most important blessing the Lord had for me, salvation. And here's something that made a huge impression on me that day. That afternoon, all the elders of the church showed up at our house to welcome me into the congregation and to encourage me. You don't think that didn't have a big impression? I think at that point, I probably thought, you know, someday I might want to be an elder. Here I was just a brand new Christian. When I was 16, the teenagers in the congregation were invited to start co-teaching Bible classes with experienced teachers. And I joined in that group, and Virginia was also a part of that group that started learning how to teach Bible classes. A bit later, Brentwood started an outreach program on Saturdays in East Austin. And we would pick up children on buses and take them for Bible classes. And I worked on this program in my teenage years and on into when I was at UT studying architecture. My father was worked on by my mother and a number of other people in the church. When I say worked on, encouraged him. And he was restored to faithful service when I was about 18 years old. And in my senior year in high school, a Baptist friend of mine and I decided to learn more about various religious groups. And so each Sunday we would attend different religious groups' services. And we wanted to know more about what they believe compared to what we believe. I believe this encouraged me as much as anything to thoroughly examine my beliefs and see what the Bible had to say about various doctrinal issues. I missed one thing here. Back when I was 16, let's go back a year, Virginia and I started dating. Very important. Didn't want to forget that. Well, Virginia and I were married at Brentwood in 1967. And that's when I received the second most important blessing of God, my wife. I graduated from UT in 68, and our first daughter was born in 69. Just before I went to Navy OCS at Newport, Rhode Island for 18 weeks. And while I was at OCS, there was a family who would pick up several of us on Sunday mornings and take us to worship at a nearby congregation of the church. And while I was on active duty in the Navy, Virginia and I would attend services in the local congregation wherever we were. And I would try to find a congregation to attend when the ship was deployed elsewhere. I was also the designated Protestant lay leader on the ship, although I protested the designation. I told the CEO, I said, I'm not a Protestant. I'm non-denominational. I'm just a Christian. No, you're a Protestant, and you're the Protestant lay leader. So. Yes, sir. So I got this collateral duty because I was one of the very few on the ship that was known to be an active churchgoer. And I was also severely chastised at times by fellow officers for being unsociable. Because Virginia and I would not join them in their heavy drinking activities at social gatherings. We would attend at times for the dinner, but that was about it. You know, it's about all we could take. And so I was unsociable because I didn't drink. And I finally wound up explaining that as best I could to them why I didn't drink. But as the Protestant lay leader, I would hold services on board the ship when we were underway on Sunday. And they're pretty sparse crowds, but I remember the commanding officer did attend at times. That was encouraging to me. I also got to practice intense prayer during my time of active duty at times when the ship would be going through severe storms. I was on a destroyer, and we would be tossed around quite a bit. When I got off active duty and we moved back to Austin in 72, we attended the University Hills and Cameron Road congregations. And I served as a deacon in both those congregations, and Virginia and I served as Bible class teachers. At University Hills, we started a program called Bible Call, which kind of was a nationwide thing where people could call in and listen to Bible tapes about various subjects. And I served as coordinator for that. And about this time, I also got involved in World Bible School, primarily with students from Nigeria. And we adopted our son in about 1979. I'm going to skip forward a few years now. When we moved to Cedar Park about 20 years ago, Virginia and I started attending here at Leander. And after a few years, I was asked to serve as a deacon here. And then in 2006, I was privileged to be selected to serve as an elder. Virginia and I continued to work with World Bible School and have served as Bible class teachers. I retired from the Naval Reserves in 1990. And then I retired from my architectural practice earlier this year. My favorite part of being an elder is, and this may sound strange, but is the pastoral care that can be given to those who are hurting spiritually and physically. Sometimes this can be difficult, say the least. But Satan is a strong adversary who will assault us on every side. And one of our jobs as elders is to teach others how to continue to grow spiritually, to be able to properly use the armor of God through understanding His Word and its application in our lives. My hopes and dreams for the Leander congregation include spiritual growth and involvement in the kingdom for every one of us, continued outreach with the gospel so that many will be saved, and thus strong numerical growth for this congregation. One passage of scripture that I have always liked is Romans 8, verses 28 to 39. We know that in all things God works for the good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed in the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then one of the passages I was going to read is the one Rob just read, 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4, so I won't read that one again. But that obviously pertains to who we are as shepherds. But another one I think is also a key passage in understanding what we're supposed to be about. It's in Acts 20, verses 28 to 31, where Paul gave his final charge to the Ephesian elders. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. I believe prayer and study of the Bible and meditation all help keep us focused on what's truly important and hopefully provide us with the wisdom to lead God's people. Always keep this in mind, too. Elders are not perfect people. And we hold each other accountable, just as all of us should hold one another accountable in this daily walk. So on my faith journey, I would have to say my wife, my mother, numerous Bible class teachers, elders, and ministers have all had great impact on me. And I've been blessed by them, and I appreciate all that each of them, each part that they had to play in my life. Now it's up to Rob to ask me some hard questions or something.
If not, I can turn this mic on. So we'll see how this goes. So the elders have agreed, the collective group have agreed to allow us, or allow me, I guess, to ask them some questions, sort of a little bit of a interview style. So this could be a lot of fun, or I could get myself into trouble. So I'm going to be careful here. I won't ask any crazy, difficult theological questions or anything, try to put anybody on the spot at this time. But I am going to ask Gary some questions about his work, just a few. And I promise they're not going to be anything too challenging or anything like that. So I'll ask the question. Gary, you can just go ahead and speak to it then. And my first question is, let's say there was a man who was being considered to be a shepherd of a congregation, and he in turn was considering that work. What would you say to someone that hasn't been a shepherd before, but there's the potential of him being one? What advice would you give to him? What counsel would you say? And how would you prepare him maybe for that work?
Okay. Well, I think if somebody were being considered, it would only be because the congregation saw something in them that made them feel like he was qualified. One, that qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, of course. But it's because I think it's something you grow into because of the experiences that you've had in life. and especially in the church. But the main thing that somebody in that position would need to do would be to pray intensely and ask God to give them wisdom as to whether or not this is the proper thing for them to be doing, and whether or not they fit well with the congregation. I'll tell you right off, I don't know everybody in the congregation well, but over time I've learned to know a lot of people, and you have to know the sheep that you're going to lead. That'd be the basics of it.
So, as you know, with Christianity right now in the United States, especially, the numbers aren't really good. They're not necessarily favorable at this point, and we live in a challenging culture right now to Christianity. So, from your understanding, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing the church in a general way, but also the Leander Church of Christ specifically as we move into the future?
Well, we live in what's been referred to as a postmodern generation. That, it's all about me. I'm the center of the world. So if I'm not happy, then nobody's happy. That sort of deal. And but I still believe there are a lot of people seeking to have a relationship with God and to know Christ, to follow Him. And we have to find those people. A lot of them come here on their own. We've had people just come in, and want to learn. We have to take advantage of that. But we also have to look for opportunities around us, people that we know, we work with, that we live near, go to school with, that are seeking something better in this life. We have the answer that we can provide to them. But it is a challenge to live in this day and age where a lot of people claimed to be Christians, claim to be a Christian nation, but yet you find church attendance and whatnot is declining, but we can't let that deter us from seeking to serve God as He's laid out for us in Scripture, and then to seek to share what we know with others. Because if we keep it to ourselves, we'll be held accountable for that as well.
What is it about the Leander Church of Christ that makes you the most proud?
We have found here a love for God and a love for one another that is very, very deep and abiding. That, to me, has been one of the most important aspects of this congregation. Now, we've been in congregations elsewhere where we found something similar, but I think it's a very, very strong part of this congregation. And I believe people can sense that when they come in, that we're willing to reach out to them and share the love of Christ with them as well.
This one's more about your marriage. So how have you and Virginia remained strong and faithful to one another for so many years? What is it about your relationship that has sort of been the rock?
Well, it's been 48 years, and I believe what's been the glue that's held it together has been our love for Christ, because that has motivated everything else. In fact, I've told her this, and I've told others, that my first priority has to be Christ and God. And she's second. But because of that first priority, the second one becomes extremely fantastic. And I just, well, there have been rocky times, you know. We've had tough things happen in our lives, but because of that desire to serve God and be true to Him above else, all else, I think that's brought us through a lot.
So in any position of leadership, it can be very challenging. You can obviously get discouraged. How have you remained strong in doing what you do as a shepherd? How have you remained excited and enthusiastic about the work of playing a part in leading a congregation?
I think part of it is, Jenny told me not to say anything negative today. I didn't let her approve my talk. And I've mentioned this before in other venues, but we have run into some very difficult things that we've had to deal with. Okay? It's unbelievable some of the things Christians can get involved in and just mess up their lives, you know, draw them away from Christ. And, you know, our job as elders, one of our jobs as elders, is to go to them when they're hurting or when they're doubting and try to encourage them. And it comes a point when, well, in every instance, we have to turn that situation over to God in prayer and let Him be the one that's really dealing with it in the background. We're just vessels used for His service. And if we don't, if we try to take it on ourselves as being the absolute ones that are responsible for making things get better, then, you know, we're gonna fail, because you can't always make things better. God can, but you know, we can't be the ones that are trying to do everything on our own and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. It all has to be turned over to God. Let Him work with us. Work through us.
I think that's all. We'll let you off the hot seat.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Gary, thank you so much for doing that and being the guinea pig. And I'd say you set the bar pretty high for the other guys. So maybe they'll be a little bit nervous of following that. But I think that got off to a great start. Thank you for sharing. Seriously, thank you for sharing your heart with us. I know sometimes it's not easy for us to share what's on our heart and share our life with others, but I appreciate how Gary has done that so eloquently this evening. As usual, after our time of worship, we have a invitation, and if there's anybody that needs the prayers of the assembly, or if tonight you're ready to put Jesus on in baptism, here in just a moment, you can let us know that, and we will be glad to pray with you or assist you in baptism and witness you make that very important choice in your life. And so Mark's going to lead us in another song, and we can stand and continue our time of worship this evening.